Thank God you're here. Thank God I'm here. Thank God that this day is here, because it's all a gift. However, here's what I want to talk about today. Sometimes I don't feel like it. For any variety of reasons, I may not be feeling grateful. I may not feel like life is a gift. What do I do then? And people have different thoughts about this. Sometimes people will think, well, I'll just wait till I do feel grateful, because I got to be authentic. It turns out authenticity is overrated. Cain was extremely authentic with his brother Abel, and that did not work out so well. Sometimes repentant inauthenticity is better than authentic sinfulness. Sometimes people think, well, I should just ask God to give me what I want, and then I'll be grateful. One of my kids said to me a long time ago, if God wants us to be grateful, why didn't he give us whatever we want? Well, if you've ever been a parent or around a parent, ask yourself a question. If you want to produce a grateful child, is the best strategy indulge their every desire as soon as it occurs? I don't think so. Another thing people think sometimes is engage in certain exercises, like a gratitude journal. Now, I know the research on this kind of thing, keeping a gratitude journal, writing down things that I'm grateful for, can be quite helpful. I often like to do this. However, I got to say this. I've just stood in so many rooms and asked people who here likes to journal, and it is always a minority of hands, usually hardly any hands. And when I tell people, you know, Jesus never journaled, Moses never journaled. In the ancient world, this command to be grateful is something that people pursued without going down to the stationery store and buying one of these. It's kind of interesting. In one study, it was found that if people counted their blessings once a week, it actually was more effective than if they counted them three times a week. So you got to experiment with this sometimes. If things like counting your blessings or keeping a gratitude journal becomes one more thing on a to-do list where it feels routine and mechanized and like an obligation, it's not going to help. So practice like this might be helpful. I encourage you to try it, but that may not do it either. So what do we do? Very interesting in C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, when he's talking about what do we do to follow Jesus? There's a whole chapter with a kind of intriguing title, Let's Pretend. Pretend to be grateful. Now, you may have heard an old saying, fake it till you make it. I kind of hate that saying. And that's very different than what I'm talking about today. So we'll get to that in a moment. It's very interesting in the Old Testament, for example, there is a command in the book of Leviticus chapter 7 for people to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving for well-being to the Lord. And part of the command here is that when you do that, the meat, the food, the goodness of your thanksgiving sacrifice of well-being shall be eaten on the day it is offered. You shall not leave any of it until morning. And this is kind of unique to the Thanksgiving sacrifice. The idea is now just enjoy the whole thing today. Savor it today. Don't leave any. That'll mean be generous, be hospitable, invite other people so that it's all consumed on this day. On this day, experience the goodness of the Lord and offer thanksgiving for it. And it doesn't say wait until you feel like it, or wait until things have gone better, or wait until something really good has come your way. This notion of pretending, C.S. Lewis writes in his book, Mere Christianity, is deeply connected with the notion of putting on Christ. In Colossians 3, for example, it talks about you've taken off the old self with its practices. That changes the way that we talk. Don't lie to each other. And we're putting on the new self. That is, we're putting on Christ. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness. And of course, gratitude is right at the heart of that. So here's what Lewis writes. You are dressing up as Christ. If you like, you're pretending. Because, of course, the moment that you realize, for instance, if you say, Our Father who's in heaven, and I am putting myself in the place of a son of God, moment you realize what the words mean, you realize you're not a son of God. You are not a being like the Son of God whose will and interests are at one with those of the Father. You are a bundle of self-centered fears, hopes, greeds, jealousies, and self-conceit, all doomed to death. Ouch. But it's kind of nice to know that we're all in the same boat and God has made a way out. Thank God. So, in a way, this dressing up as Christ is a piece of outrageous nerve. But the odd thing is, he's ordered us to do it. Why? What is the good of pretending to be what you are not? Well, even on the human level, you know, there are two kinds of pretending. There is the bad kind, where the pretense is there instead of the real thing, as when someone pretends that they're going to help you instead of actually helping you. So that's the pretense of deceit. But there's also a good kind, where the pretense leads up to the real thing. When you are not feeling particularly friendly, but you know you ought to be, the best thing you can do very often is to put on a friendly manner and behave as if you were a nicer person than you actually are. So think of somebody who's genuinely nice and try to be like them. And of course, ultimately, for those of us who follow Jesus, Jesus is always the one. And in a few minutes, as we have all noticed, if I'm genuinely friendly towards somebody, if I act like a friendly person would, I look them in the eye, I ask them questions, I'm curious, I want to get to know about them, you will really be feeling friendlier than you were. Very often, the only way to get equality in reality is start behaving as if you had it already. That is why children's games are so important. They're always pretending to be grown-ups, playing soldiers, playing shop. All the time they're hardening their muscles, sharpening their wits, so that the pretense of being grown-up helps them to grow up in earnest. Now, that might sound like fake it till you make it, but it's not. And here's why. Lewis goes on to write about this, and this is just central to living in spiritual reality and in a power beyond self-help and striving and my own will. Put right out of your head the idea that these are only fancy ways of saying that Christians are to read what Christ said and try to carry it out, as a person might read what Plato or Marx said and try to carry it out. They mean something much more than that. They mean that a real person, Christ, here and now, in that very room where you are, where you're saying your prayers right now, God, thank you, is doing things to you. It is not a question of a good man who died 2,000 years ago. It is a living man, still as much a man as you and still as much God as he was when he created the world, really coming and interfering with your very self, killing the old, natural, ungrateful, complaining, grumbling, entitled, sinful self, and replacing it with the kind of self he has. It's not fake it till you make it. It's fake it till he remakes you. And Lewis goes on to say, God is really, in grace, also pretending. God says, let us pretend when he looks at us that this is not a mere creature but our son. It is like Christ insofar as it is a man, for he became man. Let us also pretend that it is like him in spirit. Let us treat it as if it was in fact what it is not. Let us pretend in order to make the pretense in reality. God looks at you as if you were a little Christ. Christ stands beside you to turn you into one. Lewis says, you know, that's the way that it works. A mother or father speaks to a little baby as though that baby could understand, and then eventually that baby does understand. Lewis says, we treat our dogs as if they were almost human. That is why they become almost human in the end. He doesn't mention cats here, because if cats were to become almost human, they would consider that a step down and complain and not be grateful. So today, let's pretend, the good kind of pretending. Just ask, what would a grateful person do in this moment? What would Jesus do in this moment? If I'm at Starbucks and there's somebody behind the counter, I pause for a moment and think, what if that was my child and this was their first job? I would be so proud and so grateful, and I'd want other people to treat them with a lot of gratitude. So I can do that. And then I start to find I really do begin to change inside, and I look at the person who's actually there in a different way and think that that is somebody's son or somebody's daughter. When I get a cup of coffee, I remember my dad had a cavernoma towards the end of his life, and he became unable to swallow. And then there was one day when he could have a little bit of coffee again, and it was like heaven. So it was a big celebration. And I think, oh, yeah, the ability to swallow and taste this coffee, that's a gift that is sometimes denied people, but it's mine. Oh, thank you, God. One year for Christmas, I got two nose hair trimmers, and not one, but two. It didn't initially evoke a lot of gratitude, but then I could stop and think, well, people care about me. They care about the way that I look. It's a good thing to be able to trim nose hairs. And I can be grateful and express gratitude for that. And then I begin to experience it. Maybe you're the kind of person that doesn't like surprise parties and somebody throws you a surprise party. But when you write them a note and say thank you and think about the effort they put into it and what they did, you find yourself becoming grateful. Nancy today is taking somebody who lives on the West Coast but has never dipped a toe in the Pacific Ocean to dip a toe in the Pacific Ocean. And to think of the wonder of that. There are a million reasons to be grateful every moment. So let's pretend. Let's put on Christ. Thank God.
You know what I thought at the end of that video? I can do that. I can do that. I can ask myself, what would a grateful person do? And then do that. What would they think? What would they feel? It's really about setting aspirations. It's about setting a vision for the kind of person you want to become. And that is what becoming a more grateful person is all about. It's wanting to want to become a more grateful person. So I hope that you'll join us in that journey. At Become New, we're all about growing in Christ likeness one day at a time. That's why we create these 10-minute videos to distribute on YouTube, podcast, our website, becomenew.com. We also write an email that goes along with every video articulating one thing you can put into practice that day with a list of other resources and information about the episode. So if you want that or you want a text reminder, we'll connect you with the video via text every weekday when we drop a new episode. If you want that, you can head to our website, becomenew.com/subscribe. My name's Tim. I'm a member of the team, and I'm a pastor. And I'm also one of the people who is dedicated to praying for you every weekday. We have a group that believes in the power of prayer, and we want to pray for you. So if there's something going on in your life, you're facing a struggle, a challenge, we believe that God cares and that prayer makes a difference. So don't face it alone. Reach out to us. All of our contact is in the show notes. You can text us. Email us. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.